The Old Testament reading for the fifth Sunday after the Epiphany is from Isaiah chapter 58. Why have we fasted and you see it not? Why have we humbled ourselves and you take no knowledge of it? This is the words of the people. God responds, Behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure and oppress all your workers. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to hit with a wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice to be heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose, a day for a person to humble himself? Is it to bow down his head like a reed and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will this you call a fast and a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh. Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, Here I am. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not proclaim to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Yet among the mature, we do impart wisdom. Although it is not a wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away, but we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thought except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the fifth chapter. Jesus said, You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot, will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. This is the gospel of our Lord. Our sermon text is the gospel lesson just read, Matthew 5, 13 to 20. The sermon title is Dismantling the Law. You may be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, how can you repeal or dismantle a law? The basic rule is that whoever writes the law gets to repeal or change it. In our country, Congress writes the laws, so Congress gets to repeal or change them, and they do that all the time. It's part of their work. If you don't like a law, you can try electing a new congressman and then try to convince him to change that law. We also have a check and balance function in our country in which the U.S. Supreme Court can repeal or in some way change an existing law passed by Congress if the court proves that such law is unconstitutional. The result of this principle is that American laws can be changed over a period of time, especially if they prove to be counterproductive or if the Congress or the court changes hands from one party to another. Now, what about God's law? Can you repeal or dismantle that? Now, this is the basic question that ties together the ideas of our gospel lesson this morning. Now, although you might think it folly to try, there have been many people throughout history who have tried to repeal or dismantle God's law. Modern atheists try to repeal God's law with one swing of the axe. They argue there is no God. Well, then if that's the case, then God's law is a fiction. Then morality is simply whatever you or society chooses. Then whatever you decide to be right and wrong is right and wrong. And if it's just you, that's called existentialism, which was popular in the late 20th century. And that's one version of that idea. Now, most people in the world, most sensible people, cannot handle the idea that there is no God at all. The idea of God and religion is comforting and useful to them, so they're not ready to repeal the whole thing. On the other hand, there are many things in God's law that they don't like, for mostly personal reasons. So they're always happy to find preachers or religions who give them permission to dismantle those parts of God's law that they don't like. And this explains the decision of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America in the summer of 2009 to accept gay and lesbian clergy and to bless homosexual marriages, even though the Bible is clearly against both of those practices, both Old and New Testament. Now, that decision was not groundbreaking because the ELCA was following the decisions preceding them of the Episcopalians, the United Church of Christ, the Presbyterian Church USA, and a few others that have done the very same thing. Now, our topic this morning is not about homosexuality. That's just the most current example of moral dismantling. Our topic is whether anybody can legitimately dismantle those parts of God's law that they don't like. So what did Jesus say in our text? You all should have that in your bulletin. Look at verse 19. Whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now tell me, is there any wiggle room there? It would be like the Senate telling the House today, you can't touch one word or line of the Health Care Reform Act. Now you see, the House right now is controlled by Republicans, the Senate by Democrats, so you know how that would work out. Because the Senate has to, they're the last ones to adopt it. So they say, you can't touch Obamacare. Even though you like it, you can't do it. But so-called Christians still tried to dismantle God's law all the time anyway, even though Jesus said you can't do that. Well, so how do they do that today? First off, they attack the person. They call anybody who upholds God's law a Pharisee. The Pharisees had a reputation for keeping all the laws of Moses, but they also interpreted it with laws that had developed among the rabbis during the Babylonian captivity. So they added a whole lot more to the law than what was there in Moses. Anyway, it seems that if you uphold God's law today, then you are a Pharisee. That's what they say. And then the moral dismantlers point to all the places where Jesus said bad things about the Pharisees. And so they're saying bad things about you too. Thus, according to this line of reasoning, anybody who upholds God's law is condemned by Jesus. Now, Jesus knew that his attacks on the Pharisees would be misunderstood. He can see into the future. He knows 2000 AD. So right at the beginning of his ministry, in our gospel lesson, verse 17, Jesus said, do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot, will pass from the law until all is accomplished. There's no wiggle room there either. Jesus did not come to repeal the law or the prophets. He came to fulfill them by his perfect obedience in every way. And that's his righteousness, which he gives to you through baptism, through faith, etc. So, you have to understand, in the New Testament, Jesus' primary complaint against the scribes and Pharisees was not that they were too strict, but they were too loose with Moses' law, the written law. What does he say in verse 20? For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. In case after case, situation after situation, the Pharisees found ways in which they did not have to seek justice for their neighbor, show mercy to the poor and oppressed, even to the point of neglecting their own families. And they found those ways by dismantling the law of Moses in those areas where they did not like its demands. Jesus spent much of his preaching ministry telling the people where the scribes and Pharisees were wrong in their interpretation or application of the law. When and where the Pharisees used the law to make themselves look good and other people look bad, Jesus called them hypocrites. That's where we get that term. It's a term invented by Jesus, basically. The Pharisees, scribes, and priests responded to the charge of hypocrisy by sending their best debaters against Jesus. And the whole point was to catch Jesus in the act of teaching against the law. He's got to be a lawbreaker. Look at what he says all the time. This is what they're thinking. But the debaters all failed miserably because he upheld and respected God's law. Now, in this sense, Jesus was not a revolutionary, but a reformer like Luther, who taught his people to return to the original meaning and the original practice of God's law. But what does this mean for you today? According to Jesus in verse 13, if you propagate his teaching, you are the salt of the earth. And you are salt because salt preserves food from corruption. That's its original use. The use of God's law in the world preserves society from corruption when it is used properly. God's gospel in the world preserves people from eternal corruption when it is used properly, that is, eternal death and punishment. According to Jesus in verse 14, if you propagate his teaching, you are the light of the world. You are light because light reveals the true shape and color of things which lie in darkness. The use of God's law in the world shows people the true nature of human behavior and its consequences. God's gospel in the world reveals the true shape and color of his salvation offered to all people. Both law and gospel are light. Jesus then says in verses 14 to 16 that as a Christian, you are not to put your lamp under a basket, but in a public place where it can benefit everyone. And this is referring to the light, what you understand about the law and gospel in your mind, that you have this knowledge of God's law and gospel, and that you can share it with others. It means that when matters of religion or morality come up in conversation, that's not the time to keep opinions to yourself. It's the time to share what you know from God's word, not your own opinion, but God's law, God's gospel. So it helps if you know the Bible and know your catechism. Now, sharing God's word with people is not an easy thing for most people to do. But you know, my mother did it, and she was really good at it, too. And it doesn't matter whether it is easy or hard. Jesus still expects his followers to do what they can. You don't need to get into arguments with people about religion, and you really don't need a lot of training. All you do is share with people what you believe, what you know from the catechism and your Bible stories, and from what you remember from sermons or Bible class. And if they want to argue, just leave them alone. If they want to hear more, then continue the conversation. And if they want even more, well, then bring them to church. So are you salt and light in this world? Are you salt and light among your family, your relatives, your friends and coworkers? I pray that God may give you opportunities and the courage to speak his word, especially to those who are seeking meaning in their life or who are searching for a gracious and loving God. And you already have those things in Christ Jesus, a gracious and loving God. In Jesus' name, amen.